God. Is God benevolent? People often think of God as someone who provides beneficial, pleasurable circumstances for us, of whom we make requests. As we grow, our notion of what is good and beneficial changes. To animals and babies, good means what feels pleasurable to the body. To children, good means what feels pleasurable to the body or emotions. Later on, good means what feels pleasurable or satisfies one's desires. Even later on, good means what is truly beneficial for our souls. In the material world and the mental world, we have opposites, but the one thing contains within itself all qualities. Opposites can exist in form and in mentality. God can and does manifest as one quality or another, but the indwelling spark of God in all things remains one. Becoming more aware of this one thing does not necessarily involve gaining more power, abilities, or knowledge. Greater abilities and knowledge are frequent after effects of becoming aware of God, but at that point one knows and does in a different way. Pursuing science, knowledge, technology, psychic abilities, or athletics can be good, but none of these is necessary to become aware of this one thing. When we look up at the stars, we have yet to understand even a tiny fraction of what they are, how they came to be, and how they function. When we look into our own bodies, the vast majority of what goes on is still a mystery. What genius far beyond human designed and made our bodies? The more scientific experiments we manage to conduct, the greater the ratio of questions to answers. When we look at the structure of matter, we see God. What in us enables us to reason, to speak, and to choose? What in us makes us want to improve our world, our lives, and ourselves? What prompts us to ask where we came from and why we exist? What is at the root of our being? If we look into anything or anyone, we can find a spark of God, perhaps covered up, but still the one thing we call God. With people, it takes practice, because to see the divine in us requires that we look beyond the obvious and drop our preconceptions, but it's always there. The presence of God, the one thing, shouts from the mountaintops, shouts from the stars, shouts every instant from inside our bodies as it results in trillions of intelligent chemical reactions. It shouts in the fragrance of flowers, in the wings of hummingbirds, in the navigation of mosquitoes. When someone thinks God does not exist, they simply have a peculiar idea about what God is. They are not speaking about the one thing that is everywhere. God is inside them, body, mind, and soul. Who do they think they are? Or, more accurately, who don't they think they are? When we realize God as this one thing that is everywhere, knows everything, and is able to do or create anything, it is impossible to engage in fights about which God or goddess or which name of God is better than another. We don't spend time in debates about whether something that is self-evident exists. Instead, we occasionally direct our awareness toward this one thing. As the poet Rumi said, "I searched for God and found only myself. I searched for myself and found only God." What happens when we direct our awareness toward the one thing? When our thoughts, opinions, feelings, and beliefs are out of the way, we experience a bliss that is described by mystics and sages in poetry, music, and ecstatic dance. It dwarfs all other pleasures, which now seem like a grain of sand compared to the Mount Everest of the One. When we seek God, that one thing that is inside us all the time, inseparable from us, we sometimes catch a whiff of that bliss. And we are never quite the same.